The scripture today is from Book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a safe place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed, as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Part of the privilege of parish ministry is accompanying people through the journey of life. In the past 10 days, I've seen the casket of one member being lowered into the earth and also offered a blessing to the five-hour-old daughter of two other members. And at times, I've even accompanied people in such major transformations that one might even think of them as new life. But leaving this earthly life is something that each one of us has in store. And each of us will leave a legacy of some sort. Those of you who have scanned the walls of my office cannot have helped but notice a large gravestone rubbing. And it comes from First Congregational UCC in Kittery Point, Maine, actually from the cemetery right beside that old church where I served as interim minister when I was still in divinity school. Thank you. It's a beautiful little church. It's the oldest church building in the state of Maine, built of white clapboard in good New England meeting house style with clear windows and a high pulpit. And if you open the back doors of the sanctuary, you look right into Portsmouth Harbor. It's an amazingly beautiful place. And still to this day, when that congregation celebrates communion or a baptism, the deacons have to go down to the local bank, to the church's safe deposit box, to take out the communion silver and the sterling baptismal bowl that were given to the church in the early 1700s by one of its members, Sir William Pepperell. The Reverend Benjamin Stevens was one of my predecessors in that church in Kittery Point, having served from 1749 until his death in 1791. Now, most of his ministry was marked by smooth sailing until the upheaval of the American Revolution. It rocked New England, and Stevens helped see that congregation through the turmoil of war, through the death of Patriot members in battle, and through the emigration of some Loyalist members, like the wealthy Pepperell family, back to England. Stevens touched a great many lives and left a legacy to that congregation in Kittery Point, which is still a vital congregation of the United Church of Christ today. Now, you may think it's a little bit macabre to have a gravestone rubbing in your office, let alone to put it on the chancel on Easter Sunday. But the reason I do that is that Dr. Stevens is remembered this way. On the grave rubbing, it says, "In him, the gentleman, the scholar, the grave divine or minister, the cheerful Christian, the affectionate, charitable, and hard laboring pastor, the faithful friend, and the tender parent were happily united." Those are high and worthy aims for any minister. And so Stevens's legacy inspires me 200 years later, after his death. So how do you want people to remember you? What sorts of things do you hope that somebody will say at your funeral or inscribe on your gravestone? After a long and happy life, of course. Now, maybe you've never thought about it, but if you were a fly on the wall, what sorts of things do you want to hear people remember about you? What are the things that are absolutely essential to your life that you don't want to neglect right now? Whether it's being a good parent or a respected teacher or therapist or engineer, or being a person of faith who just exudes compassion and light. You may have heard the aphorism, "We live life forward, but we understand it backwards." That comes from the Danish philosopher and theologian Soren Kierkegaard, whose name, by the way, in Danish means graveyard. So if we only understand our lives looking backward at them, what do you hope others will understand about you at the conclusion of your life, or even beyond the end of your life? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? What kind of an impact do you want your life to have? What kind of meaning do you intend for your life beyond your own happiness today? You know, when you think about eternal life, maybe you think about the hereafter. But the good news is that eternal life starts now by knowing the living God, not at some point down the road. We get to live our lives forward and understand them backwards. So how do you want to be remembered? By your family, your friends, your followers? How do you want them to understand your life and its meaning? When you look back on your life, how do you yourself want to remember it and its meaning? You know, new life is not just about what people say about us after we're dead and gone. It's about the possibility of new beginnings breaking forth now as part of eternal life. Think for a moment about the legacy of Jesus. Every one of the gospel writers understood Jesus by looking backward at his life. the Gospels and the Epistles are not what people said about Jesus while he was walking around. They were the legacy stories of Jesus that were written down in the late first and early second centuries. Even as Jesus lived his life forward, even beyond the cross, his followers understood Jesus by looking at his life in retrospect and reflecting on what it meant. And even for his followers today, we look backwards at his life and reflect on what it means for us today. What does it mean for you? By looking backwards and understanding, we can live life forward and live life fully in the light of Christ's legacy. And like the Apostle Paul, who never knew Jesus before the crucifixion and the empty tomb, we can encounter the risen Christ in our midst today. In John's account of the resurrection that we heard this morning, Mary Magdalene is the first to arrive at the tomb, and she finds it empty. She doesn't get it yet. She thinks that grave robbers have taken Jesus' body. And so she goes back to that gathering of disciples, and then Peter and the beloved disciple race to the tomb. And they find those bandages in which Jesus' body had been wrapped. And they still don't get it. And so they leave. They return home. The text itself says they didn't understand, because they didn't have that retrospective knowledge yet about what had happened. Mary Magdalene, however, stayed behind. She stayed behind weeping for her friend, her teacher. And then someone says to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" But then when Jesus speaks her name, Mary, then she recognizes him for who he is, the risen one. And in Luke's account of the story, one of the messengers says, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and then on the third day to rise again? Those closest followers of Jesus lived life forward. And then with a little help, they understood it backwards. And we too get to try and understand what resurrection means by looking retrospectively at it, and then by living life forward. Before any of the gospel accounts in the Bible were recorded, the Apostle Paul gives his perspective. He said, "Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too get to walk into the newness of life." So what I hear Paul saying is that for him, the meaning of the resurrection is not that it was just a one-time event that happened for one person a very long time ago in the ancient Middle East. No. It's an event that happens in our own lives, and that it happens again and again and again. Paul says that through baptism we die to an old way of being and we're raised to new life in Christ. And as we live our lives forward, we're daily dying and rising with Christ, day in and day out. For Paul, resurrection becomes a process of living fully into the present, because we are raised to newness of life and dead to the old life-denying ways of sin. I don't know If you were here a couple of years ago and you heard Marcus Borg speak from this pulpit, but he said something that has resonated deep in my soul ever since. It's something that I've never read in any of his books, but it's something that bears repetition, not just on Easter Sunday, but on every day, as we are raised again to the newness of life. He said, Jesus is still loose in the world. We can live life backwards, dwelling on what could have been or should have been or would have been if we or somebody else had taken different steps, or we can accept the invitation to be raised every day by God, to walk with Christ into the newness of life and to live our lives forward. This is the good news. Christ is alive and goes before us to show and to share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new. So go out today and experience God's gift of life and live it forward. Live life in relationship with God and live in the abundance of God's grace. Amen.